Hello and welcome back to Carter Street Talk. My name is Caleb Smith and today I'm going to be interviewing Matisse Witt. You may know him from being the CDC champion in 2022, as well as being part of the group running Carter Street Experience, a Carter Street Jam event that is in Germany. I'm super excited for you guys to hear about his thoughts on Carter Street. And just starting out, we're going to hear him talk a little bit about his experience with Carter Street Experience last year. Let's crack on with it.
It's pretty crazy how all of that went and how we came to the place where we are right now. As you said, you recorded a podcast already with the other members, and they talked about how we came together. So it was still when COVID was a big thing and the events weren't really able to take place. But we wanted to connect people again and make an event. And so it started out in the first year and was pretty small. So we were just allowed to have a maximum of 50 people there. And we couldn't go bigger by government decisions. So it wasn't allowed to do a bigger one. And then in the next year, we tried to push and make everything bigger. We also had way more expensive. We sold the tickets for a higher price to be able to rent the location for longer and rent some technical things like a stage and stuff, which we didn't have at the first event. We tried to make it more professional, more as real event, as you said, not just a Carter Street Jam, because there's a pretty huge difference between those. And now we're heading towards the third event, which is happening in 2 months already. And I'm really excited about how all of that is going, because it's a lot to do right now. It's really stressful to work on the project right now. Also, Jonas, who you talked to, isn't part of the team anymore. He left shortly before the second event. And so Nick and I are doing all of the stuff as a team of two right now. And so it's a lot of work for two people to plan everything out and also talk to all the sponsors and make sure everything's going well and advertising the event for sure. So it's a lot to do, but I love to do it. It's so great to have a project that is just for the community. And every time when I go to one of our events, it's so great to just look in the faces of all of the people and see how happy they are to come together. And that's such a great feeling. And I know all the time we spend is worth it.
I think it's really cool to see how much you guys have grown, at least from the starting days where you said there's a mandatory 50 to the new event. It's going to be, you have 100 tickets and more people coming. And also the sponsors like Oliver Sogard and Carter Street Touch. What's it like being contacted or getting these sponsors from some of these big names that you've known in the community?
That's so crazy. That was such a crazy feeling for the second event, because for the first event we had Komorabi and Hourglass Playing Cards as sponsors. And Hourglass is the brand by Till, who is a friend of us and attended the event and stuff. So it was really great of him to give us decks as a sponsorship, but to talk to Komorabi and get their decks for it was incredible for us at that time. And then for the second year it just expanded, and we got messages from Dealer's Grip and Missing and Art of Play and all of those big brands that I was looking up to so much. And now we are just regularly talking to them and agreeing on how the next sponsorship deal will work. And that's so great, because since I started Cardistry, I love those cardists, and it's just I'm watching all of their videos. And now I'm talking to them and helping them to promote their brand with our event, basically. And that's so crazy so unrealistic for me to realize that. And also, as you said, Oliver is attending the event as a headliner, and Silas Busk, and a lot of great cardists who are just known in the community and are super great. And it's so nice to meet them in person and to know that they like to come to our event and have fun there. So that's incredible.
I can say from experience from running the podcast, when like someone big reaches out to you or like you're messaging with someone that you really respect, it's just like, it's a nice feeling to feel like a part of something bigger. I think what's really cool about your guys' event too is just that it's in Germany, that it's in a specific location. So if I'm a German cartist, I know now where the spot to go is, whereas with CartistryCon, it alternates and changes pretty constantly. And it's hard for people to get out to the CartistryCon. Like, yeah. If it's in a different country, it's a lot to plan. There's passports and stuff like that. So I think, like, the more locations that we can get, like InterCard Club, Cardistry Experience, stuff like that, I think is obviously better in the long run for people being able to actually get out to these events. I'm considering going out to Cardistry XP right now. And I don't think I would have ever thought about traveling to Germany anytime soon, just with language barriers and stuff like that. Like, I would feel very uncomfortable going to a country I don't know that speaks languages that I don't know by myself. But when I know that there's going to be other cartists and people there, it's like such a great opportunity to visit other countries. And I think a lot of cartists are a little bit more cultured, I guess, because they're able to visit these other places and have a really welcoming presence.
Yeah, that's so great that you talk about that, because CartistryCon is doing a really great job, and I love that they are changing the places and doing it at a different spot each year, especially as there were no other events during the first few years of CartistryCon. Like, until COVID, there were no real big events that I noticed besides CartistryCon, and so it was great of them to change the places and give everyone the opportunity to go there at least once when it's close. But as you said, it's also cool to have the same spot for each year. So for us, it's the same exact location we are using for the third year now. And we wanted to like bring that more up to the community, because in other communities like skateboarding and Kendama and stuff, there are events that are taking place each year at the same city. And it's not like the same event with the same names changing places a lot, but it's more like you go to a place and there's that specific event. And it's easier for us to organize an event close to where we live. It's not easy to organize something in the US or somewhere else when we are here. So probably CartistryCon is also struggling with that, but they are bigger and have the opportunity to do that. So for us, it's just the easy thing to do it here in Germany. And it's also, as you said, good for the local cartists and the local community to attend here. But we also experienced that a lot of cartists travel to come here. So for the last event, we were like, I think 75 people or something at the event. And we had people from 12 different countries. So it was a lot of countries around Germany, but also we had some randy from the US. So it was, some people travel crazy far for that. And also, as you said, when you are considering coming there, it will be like a long travel. And we really appreciate everybody who travels so far just to meet other cartists. And yeah, as you said, it's great to connect with cartists and to go to places because you know cartists there and because you can meet cartists there. Because I don't think the language barrier is a problem at all. Nowadays, so many people speak English and it's so easy to get around. And even if you don't speak any language at all, you can just use your hands to communicate a bit and you will be fine. And for cartistry, you immediately have a topic to talk about. So if you meet another cartist, you know he's also into cartistry. I can show him moves. I can talk about moves and stuff like that. So it's not a problem to find a topic to connect to strangers. So for example, in the summer, I did an Interrail tour. So it's basically a trip that I took by train by going from one city to another in Europe. And I did that for a whole month, and I went to, I think, 10 cities, and I met cartists in 9 of the 10 cities. So it's so crazy to have people everywhere and to just go somewhere. And I messaged those people on Instagram before I'm there. And sometimes I knew the people, sometimes I have met with them before, but sometimes it was just like I randomly spot in somebody's bio that he lives at a certain place, and I contact them and say, oh, I'm there next week. Do you have time? And it's so great to just do that and meet with people, even if you've never met them, and you will have something to talk about with cardistry. And so I get what you mean with your culture and your great connected through cardistry. And like it allows you to go to more places and get to know those places also. So that's really cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've been very surprised about how many, I'm so blessed that English is like the business language and like the kind of like second language that people will know if they don't after their first one. Because I've been so impressed by the amount of people from different locations I've been able to talk to, like Vietnam, Germany, Deutschland, New Zealand. Like, it's just, it blows my mind the amount of people I'm able to talk with in my native language, which is so cool. And I'm so blessed because of that. But it's also, what's good about cardistry is it's such a visual art form that even if you do have like those minor or different languages and stuff like that, you can still like show someone something really cool that you made and they'll process the whole thing, which is what's pretty lucky about cardistry too. And I think it's really cool that you were able to meet so many cardists and visit so many places on that trip. I remember seeing your stories and being like super jealous of that. For Cardistry XP this year, that's coming up in a couple months, what has you excited? What has been some of the challenges going into this one?
Immediately after the last event, we thought about like what can be better than this year. Like we tried to get some feedback from the people and tried to notice what at what points we can like adjust the events to make it even better, to have even a better experience for the people. And we noted some things down, and so we worked on that a lot. But we knew that we wanted to keep it a lot the same like last year. So it was really great. We have our like yearly freestyle competition that is going live on stage at the event. We have great video screenings and presentations and stuff, and we want to keep the main thing the same. But of course, there are a lot of like small changes and a lot of things we want to do better. So for example, this year we are having a 3-day event. Last year it was 2 days, and for the first year it was just 1 day. So it's going up each year right now. And so it's a lot that we want to improve. Right now I'm in video calls with Nick almost daily because there are some struggles everywhere right now and there's so much to do. Because we have like a limited budget for the event and we have to see how we can spend the money that we have and that we gained through the ticket selling and how we can like adjust that so it's effective, that we don't spend too much on something that isn't that necessary. And so that's a big struggle right now. And also the communication with sponsors is sometimes really hard because, as you said, it's great to receive messages from great people, but that's not always the case. We contacted a lot of companies and they just didn't reply to us. And so sometimes it's a bit frustrating. Or so, for example, we were talking to a company and we almost agreed on something and then they like canceled it in the end. So it was frustrating to put a lot of time in there and thinking about how the deal can work. And then it didn't work out in the end. But I guess that's just what it is. And when we keep growing, that will happen even more often because that's just how business works, I guess. And we would love to do so much more of the creative side. Like we have our booklets that we have each year. So it's just like a like magazine thing that everybody gets in their goodie bags and stuff. And stuff like that and presentations and stuff. Would love to work so much more on those things. But there are so many struggles right now that keep us like distracted from the creative work, the good work. And keep us trapped in those like bookkeeping and paying stuff and stuff like that. So there's a lot of struggle with that. But I'm really looking forward to the event because I think we have already achieved that it will be even greater than last year we have some things that we definitely did improve already, if everything works out as planned, but I think so. So yeah, I'm really looking forward, and it's great to just keep pushing and thinking of new ideas and to like talk about how we could improve every year.
I love to hear that kind of mindset of improvement. I know from my experience with the podcast, like that's something people have really appreciated over time, is that it's slowly improved, definitely from the first episode. Other really recent thing that's been happening with you, well, somewhat recently, is CDC, the Cardistry Discord Championships. For those of you that don't know, it's a tournament hosted by the Cardistry Discord, and he won the advanced bracket. So that's, first, congrats on that. That's cool.
Thank you.
That's really exciting. But what was your experience like with that, just as a general question?
Yeah, that was crazy. Like, I didn't expect to win that thing. But it was a pretty weird like way for me to go through there. It's pretty exciting because I, like, in the past years, I followed it. Like, I watched the videos and stuff, but I never thought of participating. And this year I heard about it. It was announced on their Instagram and stuff. That's where I saw it. And it just sounds cool. And I thought, okay, it's a good way to like practice doing cardistry and doing cardistry for competitions. And so I didn't go into the competition with the mindset, okay, I'm going to win. But I got into the competition with the mindset, okay, the further I get, the more I can like improve myself and practice doing those videos and stuff that I love. And a big problem for me was that at the time the thing was announced and started, I was still at my Interrail tour that I talked about. So I heard about the thing, like I was somewhere in Spain, I think. And then when I recorded the entry, that was in Austria. So I had to like record the first things like during the tour. And I was scared of having to film with my phone camera and not having somebody do it. And so I would have bad angles and stuff. So I was scared of that. So I thought, okay, I'm just entering and see how it goes. But then in Austria, Valentin helped me with it. And so he filmed the thing for me and he also edited it, and it was really great. So it was I was really happy with the quality of the video. And then I went on and I heard that I got into the competition when I was in the Flixbus somewhere in Europe. So it was, I was just like on my way and doing the competition. And then for the first round, I knew that I would be back home when the deadline for the first round is over, but I would just be back for like 3 or 4 days. So I wouldn't have the time to film the whole thing here when I'm home. So I filmed that in Prague, in Czech Republic. And I also had great people to help me out there. I also had some drone shots in that video. There was somebody flying a drone and he helped me out with the video, and somebody else, Chiara, he filmed the video for me. And so that was really great. And then for the first round, I edited that myself when I was back home. But it was so great to get the support of all the people on my trip. And I think without them, I wouldn't have been able to like even do the first, like the entry and the first round for it. And because I wasn't sure if that was going to work out before I did that, I wasn't in the mindset of like, I'm going to win. But then those two things worked out pretty well. And I got back home, I noticed, okay, it's going pretty well. I saw all the videos of the other contestants, and so then when I was back home, I had some more time, so I wasn't working or something during that time, so I had time to record some things. And it was pretty funny because for round two, I had to record parts of the video before I even knew if I was gonna make it to the round two, because CDC had some issues, and so they had to delay the announcement for a bit. But I was already like, I agreed to film with a friend of mine for that video. So it was the light and shadow tea themed video, and he works in a company where they have some light things for events and stuff. And so we went to the storage place from that company, and he like built up some crazy light stuff just to film the video with me. And we couldn't change the date for that because I was also going somewhere else during the week that we have time. And so we had to film at that time, but I didn't know if I was in the competition or not for that round. But then we just filmed and hoped for it, and it worked out. I got to that round. And then I also filmed the shadow part for it. So I split my video in one light part and one shadow part. And that shadow part was filmed later when I knew I was in the competition. And yeah, it just kept working, and I was happy with all my videos, and then it worked out, and somehow I ended up winning. And I think it's a lot of factors playing in there, like a lot of luck, obviously. Like there's like if I didn't meet the right people during my tour, I wouldn't even be able to enter the competition. So there's a lot of luck involved for sure. But it's also I was the themes were pretty good for me. I was really happy with that, and some people had issues with some of the themes, but I was happy with all of them. And also I had some time during that period. I heard from Pablo, the second place winner, that during his filming for the final, he also had to write some exams and stuff, so he had to study a lot for that, and he didn't really have the time for filming, and so his video didn't get as good as he wanted it because he didn't have the time. And that's really unfortunate, but that's just how it is sometimes. And I was lucky to have the whole thing in a time where I was pretty free and could do what I want. So yeah, that was a great experience in general, yeah.
I think it's really cool. I know I talked to you a little bit during round one, and I remember you saying like, "Oh, I actually want to take this serious now that now I'm looking into it." And then to see you being able to go all the way, I think it's really cool. And to kind of get that title of
Yeah.
like winning a cardistry tournament, that's super cool. That's very limited to very few people.
Yeah. Because there is also not that many cardistry tournaments. Like nowadays they're coming some things up, like Lotus Enhanced Singles, Fontaine Trials. There's some things happening right now, but it's not that much. So it's great to be able to do that and win one of the few competitions that are out there. And yeah, about taking it serious, that was something for me. As I said, I wanted to like practice with this competition, and I didn't expect to win, but I wanted to do as best as I could for each round. And before I entered, I told some people, "Oh yeah, this looks fun. I think I will enter that." And some people asked me if I was entering the advanced bracket or the intermediate bracket. And for me, it was never a question because I knew that I would get the best practice when I entered the advanced section. So I could think about it, and I think a lot of people entered the intermediate section that are actually better and could have entered the advanced section, but they are not feeling that themselves, and they are just not confident with themselves with it. And I think some people also do it to make it easier for themselves because they think, okay, in the advanced section there are all these crazy good cardists, the famous cardists and stuff. And in the intermediate section, it's easier for me to win a prize or something. But for me, that was never a thought that I had because I didn't do it for the prize or anything. I wanted to have a good competition to really have to do something for the win. And I did. So that was the right decision for me for sure. And of course, the prize is also cool and the title, as you said. So that's something I really appreciated. But it was more for the bigger challenge and stuff. So that's why I also took it really serious.
And then just going back to that, a couple of things about what you said. With luck, I think, and not to downplay anything you've done, but that being a factor is something I don't think a lot of people take into account, is like how busy you are, like how busy the contestants are. Like there's so many things outside of your control. When I think of like CCC specifically, which I don't know if that's even going to be a thing anymore, but in the past Cardistry Con championships, like there's so many good cardists, and I'm like, any of these top 10 people could have won, or like there's so that's much true. That goes into it outside of just being a good cardist. Like you have to have new moves, you have to have the time, you have to see what your other opponents are doing and like factor that in. So there's just so much that goes into being able to win a tournament that is outside of your control. I don't think a lot of people realize.
Yeah, cardistry is not a full-time job for all of us. It's just a thing we do on the side. And so many people have a lot of other stuff to do and don't have the time to create that much and film that much and enter a big competition like that. So it is challenging and it is difficult. And so there was a lot of luck involved that it was during the time that I had the opportunity and stuff like that. And I think also an important thing to mention about this specific competition, like in comparison to like CCC or something, I think the CDC, so this one, the Cardistry Discord Championship, it is not a cardistry competition. It's a cardistry video competition. There were themes like light and shadow that you just can't do just by doing cardistry. It's also about how you film the cardistry. And so it's a difference that not everybody like really notices, but it is really important for the competition, because you will not win if you're just a good cardist. You also need to have some filming skills or have some people who are able to film you in a good way. So that was also something you really had to take care about. So you don't just need time by yourself, but you also need a friend most of the time to film you. I had different people to film me for each round. There was just the uncut round. I did that on a tripod. But for the rest, I had a different person for each video. And that was crazy to look back to. But that was the only thing how it worked for me.
And that's one thing I do like about CDC, is they give you those themes ahead of time. And like you can kind of plan out how you want to do a video to make it unique. And that is something cool I like about CDC. But another thing that I really like that I'm seeing more of, like you mentioned earlier with Lotus and Hand Singles, is that there's more contests that are geared towards single moves or not creating this whole big production of a video. It's just, are you a good cardist? Or can you make an insane move? Which I think allows a lot of other people that maybe aren't into film or into video an opportunity to compete at something if they're just really good at cardistry.
Yeah, it's also, what you said with like how they are getting the topics beforehand so you can plan out, that was also a big factor for me. So even though I like didn't expect to win, I, as you said, I took the competition seriously and I looked forward to what the next round could be. And so I knew, there will be an uncut round at one point. And I have my card shot space spin, which is like an aerial, and that will look good if I do some things with that in the uncut round. So I saved some moves especially for something like that. When I knew, these moves could work well with that theme, then I just didn't use them for the first rounds. And that's just something you can do when the topics are given beforehand. And what you said about Lotus and Hand Singles, I also think that is a cool new way to make a competition. Like there hasn't been much like that before. Because we see in the Fontaine Trials, I'm not sure, but I think every year in the finals, the person with the longest video won. And now for the CDC, I also had the longest video and won with that. Like I didn't do cardistry in the full video. I had a lot of like story parts, because the topic was tell a story. And so it wasn't just cardistry, but for other competitions, it's often like the person with most cardistry just wins. And so it's not about the quality of the moves, or not only about the quality of the moves that you create, but also like how much you create. And I think that is actually a problem for cardistry, because For cardists, it's so important to save moves, to hold something back, to keep everything secret. And nobody's just posting new moves right now. It's just you save up for a video, a solo video, or for a competition. And so I think there are many great cardists with like crazy good moves that we just haven't seen yet. And if something like that gets pushed more, and if more competitions focus on like smaller time adjustments or like single move competitions, I think that can help for cardists to just say, okay, I can go get rid of some moves. I don't need to save as much as possible to have a chance to win. Because for competitions, like years back when I watched the Cardistry Con Championship, it was crazy for me to see like how those people can create so many moves in such a short time period, or if they like saved up for years for that or something. So that's something like kind of weird that everything is so secret in the Cardistry community and nobody's really talking about much stuff that they are planning, including me. I also have some new secret project that I don't want to talk about now, because that's how it is in Cardistry. But I think it would be great to like change that a bit and keep Cardistry more open and talk about more things. That's also why I love those podcasts thing, because you just bring people to talk about what they do. You have so many people like leading a Cardistry brand, like Oliver, Tobias, Zach, but you never really hear what they think and what they really like about Cardistry. They are so like so secret about everything, I would say. But they are like the superstars of Cardistry. And if you have a superstar of football or a singer or something, they can't be secret about everything. They have to, like, they are all everywhere on social media and press and everything. But within Cardistry, it's kept so secret, and that is kind of weird. And I think that is also a factor. It's hard to start with Cardistry for new people, because some things are so secret and so hard to get around. And so you need years to just understand how Cardistry works and how you will find your place in the community.
I do think this isn't something I've thought about, but you pointing out like LeBron James, for example. I'm assuming everybody knows LeBron James, but just like whoever your star athlete is for whatever sport, they're getting like hundreds of interviews. Like, they're just talking about what they're doing and they're getting asked about what they're doing constantly. But for Cardistry, like the people that we would consider like superstars are like the most closed off, or the people that are the most successful, like these, I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but it is something to be of note that it's like the people that are most successful are the ones that are most secretive, which is kind of strange.
Yeah, and I think many people who, like many cardists who want to become one of the big names, who are on the way but are not the biggest names yet, they look up to the big names and see, okay, those are secret, so I have to be more secret to get on that level. And so everybody at some point will get more secret about everything he does. And so that's slowing down everything that happens in Cardistry. And it would be so cool to have, like, after Fontaine Trials, to have like a press conference with the winners, with like something more where they immediately talk about what happened and how everything works. And also, if more people would do like vlogs and stuff, if somebody would do a behind the scenes video of filming a Cardistry video or explaining what is important when you are filming a Cardistry video, I think things like that is something we really need in the community. And otherwise, it's just like slowing down and nobody's really doing much new stuff because everybody's scared of talking too much about themselves or something. And I think Square Up is doing a great job there now. They have a few YouTube videos where they talk about the process of like creating moves and practicing moves and stuff like that. And I think we need much more stuff like that, like people talking about things behind Cardistry and not just people releasing new solo videos. And also everybody to be more open to show more what they are doing.
One thing I feel like I've noticed too is back, at least when I first started Cardistry, like way back in 2013, 2012, there was, everybody kind of shared everything for the most part because it was such a small community. There wasn't contests, there wasn't brands, things like that. So that allowed us to like grow so much as a community because you would share the idea and then someone else can piggyback off of it. Right now we're like, we hoard all of our ideas and then we release them a long time down the road where it could have been piggybacked off of a long time ago and someone else could have drawn something from that. But because we're sharing to be more competitive as a single person, I think we're kind of hurting the group of Cardistry in a sense.
Yeah, and for me it's different. I started with Cardistry at some point 2017, 2018, so not that long ago as you did. And so when I started, anyone was already a thing. They had the brand already. And so I only know Cardistry as that thing with brands and stuff. And I don't know how the community was exactly back then, what you talked about. But yeah, that's why I'm a bit concerned by how it is right now and how it could be better. And we are also trying to grow a bit on that with Cardistry Experience. And we just try to push out content. We also released like a lot of stuff recently. We posted some more random videos. Like we did a tour in summer together and we just posted some Instagram reels and YouTube shorts and stuff just to push out content, because like what should be bad about it? Like nothing can happen if we post too many videos. Like nobody's there and saying, oh no, this is bad. So it's just, we can just do whatever. And if people like it, then it's nice. And if new people find Cardistry through that, then it's nice. So what should happen with it? And so we try to be more open with everything. And we also started filming a lot more when we are meeting or something to have some recap videos. We haven't released much of that, but we plan to do more like behind the scenes stuff and also talk about more how to, what belongs to managing such an event, because that's what I talked about. Like everybody should be more open, so we try to do that ourselves too. And also with our freestyle competition, we decided to not have a video competition as every other competition until this point right now, basically. But we decided to have a competition where the people actually have to perform on stage, and that is something really different, and not many people know how different that is, because filming in front of a camera and doing another take because you failed, and then like something doesn't work on stage. You just have to perform, and if you drop cards, then your cards on the floor, and you either have a second deck in your pocket or you have to spend time picking up the cards and stuff. And you also have to know like what angles work best. If I have a move that is pretty flat, then people might not see it from the front. So we don't have like a camera pointing from the top or something, but the people from the front have to see it. And so we want to get cardists or bring cardists get more creative on the spot on stage to just impress the people in front of them. And also to get more comfortable with performing Cardistry in front of others, because I think a lot of cardists are a bit like shy and don't want to show too much to other people. But with being on stage and just performing in front of everything, in front of everyone, I think that really helps to improve for that. And also we started doing topics for each round. So we didn't have that in the first year. We just said, okay, do whatever, and the better person wins. Like we have three judges who decide who the better person is in that round. But now last year and also this year, we are having like different topics for the rounds. So for example, last year we had the topic, let the cards fly or use your body. So people will only know that topic shortly before the competition, and we will not announce any of that before the event. So people will not be able to practice beforehand, but have to come up with something on the spot. And sometimes we like tell something on the evening of the first day and they can practice over the night or something, but we won't tell something before the event because that's what it's all about. And we want people to come up with some new stuff and not like new stuff as like new moves, but like a new way of presenting things and new combos or stuff. So we don't care that much about like if you create a new move and show a good new moves, but it's like getting the crowd to be impressed and making it fit to the theme. And that's also pretty a pretty new way, I think, of getting people in that kind of competition. And so yeah, that's something I also really like.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. I related in my mind to like rap freestyle. I'm sure that's probably where you guys got the freestyle wording, but it's like a little bit more raw in person, and like it's completely different to the very clean and planned out that we normally would associate with a Carter Street competition. Coming back to talking about like vlogs and those types of things, I mean, that's kind of my whole identity at this point with Carter Street, is just trying to make stuff that is outside of performances. So I'm definitely on board with that. The more people that can see Carter Street or just interact with it outside of watching moves, I think is a good thing. Like when I think of, there's so many random things that I've seen on YouTube, so many random vlogs of people like making rugs, things that I normally would not associate with being interested in, that I watched and I was like, oh, that was very interesting.
Yeah.
So I think that's really cool, that way that we could get more people into Carter Street. And speaking specifically on YouTube, just recently they had the whole Card Stars kind of spotlight on Cardistry / Magic a little bit, where the YouTube just basically recommended a bunch of Cardistry videos. I think that's really cool and really lucky for us. And you actually got to have one of your videos in the German playlist, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was so crazy to happen. Like, I saw that for the first time on my own, like, iPad when I was on YouTube and scrolling around. And how it worked was like the YouTube icon in the left top corner started moving and went to an animation. I think most people have seen that like sometimes. Like YouTube has done that before with other things, but I didn't expect them to do that with Cardistry. And when I saw that for the first time on that day where they featured it, I clicked on it and I saw the playlist and my video was in it. But I didn't. Like, I wasn't as excited in the first moment because I thought, okay, probably they are just using AI and they know that I'm watching a lot of Cardistry, and so that's what they are recommending to me. But like my brother, who's interested in basketball, maybe he just gets a basketball ad there or something. So I didn't know that it was actually featured on like whole YouTube. And for the playlist, I was also not sure if it was like a picked playlist or if also that was AI generated. And I'm still not sure to this point how it worked exactly. But yeah, then on the day I got a lot of messages throughout the day, and I like checked my brother's phone and it also showed up on his phone. And when I saw like screenshots and on my brother's phone and stuff, it was the same exact playlist for everyone, and everybody had the animation. And so I researched a bit like how it works and stuff. And so I figured out there are three different playlists on that day. So one English one, one French, and one German playlist. And I was in the German playlist. And as you said, the playlists are a bit weird. There was a bit of magic in it, even though they said it is just a Cardistry playlist. I think the German one was okay. There was Cardistry in it, but it was a weird compilation of Cardistry videos. So there was my Cardistry video, there was the jam video, which I was also into, but there were also some weird tutorials and some YouTube shorts, which they just did a really short clip. So it didn't fit together that well. So in the German playlist, there are 10 videos, I think. But I also heard from the English one and stuff that there's also some magic in it and it doesn't really fit together. So I'm not sure if those playlists are just picked together by AI or something, or if a person did that. But for the animation and for the linking on YouTube, that was not just because I do Cardistry, but I think it was on almost everybody's homepage. at least if you are in one of those three countries or speak one of those three languages, I think. I also heard from some friends who didn't have the animation and stuff, so it wasn't all over YouTube, but I think it was spread pretty widely. And yeah, I also saw that the views of the video went up immediately, and I got like 3,000 more views on the video now. So that's pretty crazy. And it's great to see that YouTube finds something like Cardistry, like they know about it, and that they actually feature it on their page. I think that is something where the Cardistry community can grow from pretty good.
Matisse, at the end of the show, I like to do what I call roll out the close-up pad. That's just my fancy way of saying, is there anything that you would like to promote or any last thing you'd like to leave the audience with before we head out?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me here. It was great to talk about all those topics, all of the stuff that is going on in Cardistry. So for everyone who wants to see more of what I talked about, go check out my Instagram and my YouTube channel. You can just find it with Mathis Witte. I think it will be linked somewhere. And go check out Cardistry Experience. We are working hard on the event, and I really appreciate everybody who's coming there. So we still have tickets available. You can just get them on our website. But even if you're not able to attend or not able to travel to Germany or something, I will also be at CardistryCon and try to attend even more events in the summer. So if somebody wants to meet up, just attend events and have fun with Cardistry, and don't hesitate to just go out and ask to meet up with others, because that's really how you will like make friends and how you will get around in the community and learn so much more.
As always, links will be in the description for all of his everything you just mentioned. Thank you for being on the show. I know we've been talking about it for a while, so being able to actually get into fruition is really cool, and I'm excited for people to see it. So